Welcome to the Corlin Economics Report, a weekly look at financial and political topics relating to asset-based investing. Guests on this program pay no fees to appear, and guests and hosts disclose any equity interest in companies profiled. Now, the Corlin Economics Report.
Hey everyone, welcome in. You are listening to the weekend edition of the KE Report. Corey Fleck here along with Shad Marquitz. We are your hosts for this weekend's edition and special Thanksgiving edition. I hope everybody, all of our U.S. listeners, had a very happy Thanksgiving. We are going to be talking a lot on this weekend show about the correction that we saw this week in the precious metals, that unfortunately, pretty large correction here that has taken a lot of the positive momentum out of the last couple months, or at least month and a half. And now with gold, where it's trading as we're recording this midway through the day on Wednesday, right before Thanksgiving, it's given up all of its gains for this month. So November looks like it could be a negative month for gold. Pretty shocking when you consider just how much positivity we had just a week ago in the sector. We are kicking off the show with Adrian Day, president of Adrian Day Asset Management, also manages the Euro-Pacific Gold Fund. Adrian, let's start with this pullback in the precious metals. Gold has dropped over $100 from a recent high. A lot of the blame this week is being placed on the fact that Jerome Powell was reappointed to the chairmanship of the Fed, but to me, that seems like a bit of an excuse because that was, for the most part, expected. What's your takeaway, Adrian, from this pullback in precious metals this week?
Well, first of all, thank you for having me on the show. Yeah, gold. I think you're right. The Powell reappointment is sort of being talked about as a trigger or the excuse. But as you indicated, that was well telegraphed ahead of time. It would have been more of a surprise had he not been reappointed. A couple of things, I think. We were chatting before the show, and you pointed out that gold had had a very, very sharp run-up in the first 2 weeks of November. And so anytime you get that sharp run-up in any market, frankly, in any market, but that asset becomes vulnerable to a sell-off. And so it just took a trigger. And that's the way I would look at it. I'd also point out that, you know, we had another one of those 8 o'clock sell-offs, 8 o'clock East Coast time, when, I don't know, 3 days out of four, the gold market seems to sell off at 8 o'clock in the morning. And we had a very sharp sell-off Monday morning. And that, of course, was before the Powell announcement. So the announcement came into an already bearish environment for gold. I mean, it dropped over $30 a day, you know, 2 minutes after 8 o'clock. And so the market was already nervous when the announcement came. And I think that's the background that I would put to it. I mean, Powell is hardly a hawk. Powell could hardly have been more dovish over the last 18 months. So there's nothing in Powell's reappointment that should make the gold market nervous.
Well, Adrian, that's one of the questions I had, is that most people were already comfortable with Powell for the last 3.5 years. And when gold actually started running at the very end of the third quarter, when it closed, it kind of dipped down to some dangerous levels, and so did the miners. And then they reversed course into September. It was already on a good truck higher for all of October and November with Powell in place. And the reason that it spiked up even higher over the last couple of weeks was the Fed starting tapering and the hot CPI reading at 6.2% inflation that came in on the U.S. Consumer Price Index. All of those fundamentals are still there. So it seemed very strange for the metals to sell off so hard that in the middle of the morning, like you mentioned, all in a few minutes, just because Powell stayed. He was already a known entity. So all of the inflation is still there. All of the Fed policy decisions they've got to make over the next 6 months about ending tapering and starting rate hiking are still there. Do you think there's anything that's fundamentally changed over the last week that explains such a sharp decline?
We have, of course, had a few more Fed officials, whether they're members of the Open Market Committee or the regional presidents, or even including some former presidents who are a little more outspoken. But we've had several Fed officials increasingly in the last few weeks, sort of indicate that we should maybe taper more rapidly, Ballard, of course, was one who said that tapering might come quicker and then we can start to raise rates sooner. And so we've had a little more of that, and the consensus among various Fed officials for raising rates seems to be to raise a little bit more and a little bit sooner. But these are there, as I say, they include people who are not on the FOMC, and they include who don't actually set the rates, and they include people, they include former officials who may be experienced but don't have a vote on the issue. So I think that set a more bearish tone. But the reality is, as always with gold, when the Fed talks about tightening, the Fed gets nervous. I mean, the gold market gets nervous. But we need to look at what they actually do. And if we look at the next couple of years, the odds of the Federal Reserve suddenly becoming more hawkish, tightening more and sooner, I think is so remote that we shouldn't be concerned about it. I mean, again, if you look at what Powell's done since he's been nominated, he could not have been more dovish. They've made it clear that they're going to finish tapering before they start to raise interest rates. And no one, not even Bullard and others, have contradicted that. They've just said, let's get tapering done more rapidly so that we can raise rates sooner. But they've made it clear they want to finish tapering before they start raising rates. And again, as we talked last time, what is tapering? You know, people are so scared of it. The Fed loves to use these uncommon words, which I think, you know, sort of scare people, frighten people, or just confuse people. But I mean, all they're doing is reducing the rate at which they're increasing the money supply. They're not cutting anything. The Fed's balance sheet, under their existing plans, the Fed's balance sheet is going to be higher when they finish tapering than it is today, and interest rates, Fed funds rates, are still going to be essentially zero when they finish tapering. So that's not exactly hawkish.
I agree with you, Adrian. It is not hawkish, but I think the problem being for some of the gold bugs out there saying, look, I've heard this narrative that gold should be going higher when inflation is up, when interest rates are low, that whole negative real yield environment, which we have. And inflation is at 30 plus year highs. Gold isn't at its highs, though. So that's the big disconnect that I think some investors, too, are just saying, I'm done with this market because every other market seems to be performing better than the gold market, whether it's supposed to be an inflation hedge or not. So what do you take away from this environment where the data does seem to be lining up for higher gold prices, but gold can't break out?
No, you're absolutely correct, of course. And you hit on the two things. One thing is other markets are doing well. Maybe the U.S. stock market is not doing quite as well in the last week as it has done, but other markets are still doing well. And when other markets generally are doing well, people don't see the need for gold. I think that will change. The second thing I would say is, as we talked, Fed talk makes gold bearish. Fed action tends to make gold bullish because it's always too little too late. And we saw this remarkably clearly on, what, November the 3rd or something, when gold bottomed the very same day that Powell announced the timetable. Yes, we're definitely going to start tapering. And so you had a perfect example of when the Fed starts, gold moves up. And I think it's that talk in the last week, 10 days, that's maybe made the market a little bit nervous. Well, gee, are they going to tighten a little quicker than we thought they would? The only other thing I'd say, honestly, if you look at the gold market over 50 years, there have been several bull phases with sharp mid-cycle corrections. When you think of 1975, 76, it was what? Gold fell about 80%, not 80%, I'm sorry. Gold fell about 40% over the course of 15 months. And at that time, people were saying, it's all over. It was just a recovery from the fake $35 an ounce price. Yes, gold is a barbarous relic. And one by one, gold believers started dropping off. That was 15 months. And I think you get the same kind of nervousness, understandable nervousness, but you get the same kind of nervousness every time, you know, gold has these mid-cycle corrections. So, you know, one of two things will happen, in my view, over the next 6 months. It'll become increasingly, the market will become increasingly aware that the Fed is not going to tighten dramatically. But that won't be an event, right? That'll be an increasing awareness. I mean, I don't think the Fed's going to suddenly say halfway through, well, we'll stop tapering. You know, we're going to reverse course. That might happen in a year or two, but it's not going to happen in the next few months. And, you know, the second thing that might happen is the stock market sells off and or Bitcoin collapses and people feel they need to turn back to gold. I should correct what I just said. I mean, I think there is a very high possibility over the next, let's say, before the end of next year, that the Fed starts to slow down on either its tapering or postpone its planned interest rate hikes or in some way introduce another QE because of a slowdown in the economy.
Yeah, Adrian, we'll have to see how it all plays out. But the Fed has not got a track record of being consistent in their plans. Sometimes they flip-flop, sometimes they change directions. And you brought up the 1970s there. It should also be pointed out that gold lagged a lot of the other sectors. And I'm sure that people in that 75, 76 region you were talking about were saying the same things we're saying now. I guess gold's not keeping up. Everything else is racing higher. And then at the very end of the decade, gold shot up past everything. And I would submit that while we are seeing 30-year highs in inflation, gold already had sniffed that out. Let's not forget last year, gold made all-time highs, 50-year highs. So it's not just that it's absolutely the highest in 30 years. It was the highest in 50 years. It was the highest ever last year. So to have a 16-month correction after that and digest a gain of that kind of a run from 2019 and 2020 was sniffing out that all this money supply and all this government stimulus was going to create inflation. So isn't that possibly what could happen?
I think you're absolutely right. I mean, last time we were on the show, I said one of the reasons was we were still in a consolidation from that big run-up at the beginning of 2020. No, I think in 3, 4, 5 years, when we look back in retrospect, we'll be saying exactly what you just said.
Well, I think a lot of the gold investors are sure hoping that that is correct, Adrian, because, yeah, unfortunately, there are just other sectors that have done better than the precious metals, and we've even seen the stocks lagging. Let's quickly get your comments on the stocks, because, look, these stocks continue to lag. Seems like it's a bigger picture of gold just being unloved and that trade being kind of secondary to a lot of investors, maybe not even secondary, further back in their minds. What are you looking at in terms of the stocks? Are you being more aggressive with managing your portfolio? Are you waiting to see where a bottom might be? Take us through a little bit of your thoughts on the underlying metals, precious metal stocks, please.
Yeah, a couple of thoughts. One is, let's not forget, when gold does turn, the stocks turn very dramatically. I just happened to pull up Barrick. It's not the best example, but, you know, that was up from $18.37 to $21 in 2 weeks. That's not too bad. And others, of course, did a lot better. So when gold turns, these will move dramatically. They continue to be extremely undervalued on any fundamental basis. The gold stocks, the senior gold stocks, like the XAU, for example, continue to trade very close to their long-term, if not all, on some metrics, all-term lows in terms of valuation, which just doesn't make sense when you look at where the market is. One main reason, of course, as you say, unloved. I mean, generalists are just not interested in gold stocks. And you know, the gold bug community or the gold investing community, you know, they can buy all they want, but they're just not enough of us to really get the market going. You need ordinary, everyday, you know, generalist investors, whether it's mutual funds, institutions, pension funds, retail investors, and so on. And they are simply not interested at the moment. And, you know, it's because of the things we've mentioned. You know, gold keeps going up and coming back again. So those who did step their toes into the water have got disenchanted. And other things are doing well. We know that will change. We know that will change. And it doesn't take a lot of buying from generalist investors. You know, if mutual funds put 0.5% or 1% of their portfolio into gold stocks, the stocks would go up 50 to 100%, because the market is so small. So what am I doing? You know, I continue to focus on the larger companies because they are typically the first to move in a gold move and the more certain to move, as we've discussed before. So if you buy Barrick and Agnico and Franco and Osisko, gold goes to 2,000. You can be as sure as you can be of almost anything that those will be up and will be up significantly. And more, of course, other stocks, Kinross and so on. I'm still waiting to see if we get, I mean, I think this pullback in gold will produce some very good tax loss selling next month. So given the gains that people have in many, many markets, from real estate to broad stock market to Tesla to Bitcoin to everything else, and even to oil stocks, gold is about the only sector where people have losses, the only broad sector. So I think we're going to see some tax loss selling next month. And it's interesting. I had some people call me about tax loss selling. I always remind people in September. I say, let's do it early before everybody else does it. I had a few people in September, early October, who wanted tax losses. November, I had no one. You know what? If you hadn't taken those losses, maybe I don't need them anymore. You know, but the market was going up. So people didn't want to sell stocks when the market was going up. Now, the last 2 days, I've had another flood of people asking for tax loss selling because the market's down. So I think we could see a lot of tax loss selling, and we shouldn't underestimate that. You look at some of these smaller stocks. I was going to pick on one, but I won't name it, but let's just look at the volume. You look at some of these smaller stocks where people have, you know, 50% losses this year. They didn't have losses last year, so they didn't take the tax losses last year. 50% losses this year, and the volume. I just pulled up a well-known name. I won't name it, but it's done 800 shares today. So if one person decides to sell his $10,000 position, the stock goes down. You know that. I know that. Everybody knows that. And we're going to see that because with tax loss selling, it's really interesting. When people want to sell something for a profit, they can be very picky on the price. No, put it in a 51.21. I don't want to sell it at 51.20. 51.21, that's my price. If people are selling because they're fed up with a company, or if people are selling because of a tax loss, they don't put a limit in. Just, I want a tax loss, sell it. So I think we're going to see some pretty dramatic prices next month among the juniors.
Adrian, we're going to wrap it up there. Thank you for taking the first two segments of this show and outlining your thoughts on the precious metals. Wish it was a bit more of a positive report heading into the end of this year. But remember, a lot of those tax loss selling times are typically at least good short-term investment opportunities. And who knows, if you believe that a bottom could be in for gold and that it's going to go higher next year, then tax loss selling, especially if you have cash on the sidelines, can be a great time to be buying. Adrian, as always,
absolutely
great chatting with you. Thank you again for taking time on this weekend show. I hope you have a great rest of your weekend.
And you. Thank you so much.
Al Corlin's firm, A.B. Corlin & Associates Incorporated, provides consulting services to public companies on matters of regulatory compliance. To find out more, follow the link from www.kereport.com. The Corlin Economics Report will be back after this brief timeout.